1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What a dichotomy. You see the dichotomy there? There is us that are of God, and there is also the world. But there is something that is interesting. We are the children of God who are placed smack in the middle of this cruel world, of this wicked world, cruel and wicked system. Can you see that? We are children of God, not in heaven, but we are still here on earth. And yet, we have all around us this wicked and cruel world and system that the devil conducts. We are pitted against the rule and the control of the devil. Jesus Christ did not take us out of the world. We are not of the world, but he did not take us out of the world. We are his, we belong to him, but we are still in the world. Although we are not of the world, we are still in the world, but we are not of the world. And we are pitted against the world. The rule, the world, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Right? So the one who rules and controls the world is the devil. So we are up against him. He's opposed to us. He's opposed to God. He's opposed to the body of Christ. He's opposed to anything that has got to do with God. We are pitted against the rule and the control of Satan. We that are born again, we that are believers, the church of Jesus Christ. Friends, there is literally nowhere to run. Evil is all around us. I say there is nowhere to run. There is no demilitarized zone. That zone does not exist here on earth. There is nowhere to run. Please, let's know that. It says the whole world lies under the sway, lies under the control, lies under the rule, lies under the reign. And where are we? In the same world. We are not of it any longer, but we are still in the same world. We are surrounded everywhere by evil. The TPT version says, the whole world lies under the misery and influence of the evil one. That's the TPT version of the Bible says, the whole world lies under the misery and the influence of the evil one. Misery is a state of feeling of great distress. I say misery is a state of feeling of great distress, of discomfort of the mind or the body. Of the mind or the body. Distress, discomfort of the mind or the body. We are in the world. We are going to feel some things. Physically so. We are going to feel some things. It's not only spiritual. We live in a state of great misery, great distress, and great discomfort as children of God. In this world, the world that bends and responds to the beck and call of the devil. The world bends and responds to the beck and call of Satan. We are living in this world, the world of great distress, great discomfort, of great misery. So it would be that from time to time, we would have to taste, we would have to go through a time of distress, through a time of misery, through a time of discomfort. Why? We are still in the world, although we are not of the world. Why? Because in this world, there is no demilitarized zone. In this world, for a child of God, there is nowhere to run. There is no oasis in this world. The whole world, not a part of it, is under the sway of Satan. The world is at the beck and call of the devil. It's as though the world was the choir, the devil would be its conductor, and the world would respond to him in whichever way that he conducts it. Would respond to his every whim, to his every sick desire. Satan is a psychopath, a maniac. That's who the devil is. He's not normal. Satan is not normal. Satan is not a normal being. He's not a normal spirit being. He's not a normal spiritual being. He's not a normal angel. He's a psychopath. He's a maniac. Maniacs, they steal, they kill, they destroy. All maniacs, all psychopaths are like that. They do sick things out of their sick desires and sick intentions. Are we together, friends? What is Satan? He's a psycho. You must know when you're dealing with the devil, you're dealing with a psycho. You cannot reason. He does not reason. Psychos do not possess the ability to reason. They don't. John 14:30. That's why you'll never find a criminal reasoning, because a criminal is a psychopath. A criminal is a maniac. They are possessed by the spirit of their father. They belong to their father, the devil. So inside of them is the spirit of the devil that causes them to do the thing that they do. See? They have the spirit of their father. It's their father who sends them. They respond to his every beck and call. John 14 and 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now, Jesus identifies the devil as the prince of this world. Prince is a ruler. The whole world lies under the sway, right? He rules and controls it. Even our Lord Jesus Christ identifies him as such, that he is a ruler who rules this world. But here's the thing, he says, and he comes. Please underline that. Satan comes. I say he comes. As a Christian, have that settled in your heart. That Satan, he comes. He's coming. It is not if, it's when. He's coming. It's not if he's coming. No, it's when. So as a child of God, you must always be ready. That's why you must always have your armor, the whole armor of God put on. Because it is when he is coming. It's not if he is coming. Coming is coming. To Christ he came. To every Christian he comes. I say to Christ he came. To every Christian he comes. But like the Lord says that he has nothing in him, even us, the devil has got nothing in us. You see, he cannot do anything with you on the inside of you. He's got nothing in you because the kingdom of God is in you. You see, greater is he that is in you. So he can't do anything in you. That's why he says he has nothing in me. The same thing with you. So what he can do, he can touch your body. You see, that's why the Bible says we must not be afraid of the one that can kill the body. You see, he can kill the body. But the Bible says we need to be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. So touching the body might touch the body through sickness, right? It might take your cell phone, take your iPad, it might take your laptop, it might take your belongings, it might take your valuables, you see? But that's not in you, that's not who you are, you see? He's got nothing in you, nothing he can touch in you. You are not your cell phone. You are not your iPad. You are not your laptop. You are not your car. You are not your house. You are not your money. You are not your riches. You are not your wealth. All those things are external. Christ says he has nothing in me. See? Because what is in you belongs to him, not to the devil. He's got nothing in me. This is why, as I'm saying, that the Bible is exhorting us to take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. When? In the evil day. So it's coming. It's when, not if. In the evil day. That you may withstand in the evil day. So the evil day cometh. I say the evil day cometh. It's not if, it's when. Ephesians 6 and 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Underline that very interesting word, withstand. Stand and resist. Stand and fight. Don't give in. Don't succumb. Don't succumb. No. Withstand. Can you see that? Don't succumb. Withstand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Why the apostle was writing like this through the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit is exactly what I'm saying, that the evil day is coming. It's not if, it's when. So he's preparing, he's forearming. He is forearming. Be armed beforehand. Always be forearmed. Be armed beforehand for that day, the evil day, which is the day of persecution. Evil day is the day of what? What do we have to do? Withstand, we have to fight, we have to resist, we have to stand against the enemy, spiritually and mentally, not physically. Right? Resist, not mentally, but not physically, but spiritually, but mentally. Why? Because the fight is not physical. The fight is not physical. You can't fight physically in a spiritual fight. You'll be mincemeat. You cannot fight physically. You cannot come with physical means to the fight of the gods. You cannot come and fight physically in the fight of the gods that will trample and destroy you. They will trample you over and destroy you. You will not be able to withstand. So friends, our enemies are not human beings. The person who steals your phones is not a human being, is not your enemy. The person who holds you at gunpoint is not your enemy. The person who hijacks you of your car is not your enemy. The person who breaks into your house is not your enemy. I'm talking about believers, born again people. I'm not talking about the heathen we're praying for. Am I talking to you? I'm not talking about the heathen we're praying for. I'm talking about a born again child of God who knows Jesus. As long as you're in Christ, human being has ceased to be your enemy. In Christ, when you were born again, in Christ, human being has ceased to be your enemy. Our enemies are not human beings. Although our enemy sometimes manifests through human beings against us. But the human beings are not our enemies. Human beings are merely pawns in Satan's evil scheme. These are pawns. Right? You like, as they say in the world, don't shoot the messenger. For we do not wrestle, that's verse number 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's what I'm saying. We do not wrestle. Are we in a fight? Yes. Are we in a warfare? Yes. Are we in a spiritual combat? Yes, we are in a spiritual combat, but we do not wrestle. We are not combating against other human beings. We are in a combat, of course. We are in a combat. We are in a warfare. The whole world is a war zone, but we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting human beings. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, these are enemies, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. We are not fighting against human beings. Please, let's know that. We are fighting against spiritual beings. We are fighting against bodiless beings. We are fighting against Satan and his army. They are invisible, they are powerful, and they are of the highest order. They are not to be taken for granted. Highest order, extremely powerful. Highest order, extremely powerful. What makes them even more dangerous is the fact that they are invisible. Cannot see them. Never take the enemy for... Listen, never you take your enemy for granted. Never you undermine your enemy. In any warfare, they will tell you that. Never undermine your enemy. No matter how weak your enemy is, you don't undermine your enemy. You over-prepare for your enemy. You over-arm for your enemy. Even though you know your enemy is weak, you over-arm. You are always prepared for the element of surprise that might spring to you from your enemy. Always ready for the element of surprise. Satan is not to be taken for granted. First Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because adversary the devil, who is your adversary? Another human being? Your brother? Your aunt? Your whoever? You know, that criminal, that thug is not your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, the fight is on. Satan is always fighting Christians. This is what Peter is trying to get across. The fight is on. It is always on. Satan is always fighting Christians. He does not go on holiday. He doesn't take recess. He does not have a sabbatical. Satan never goes on a sabbatical. Please know that. The fight is always on. The devil is always fighting Christians. He's always on a hunt. On a hunt for the Christians that he can get hold of. Resist him. Can you see that? Now remember, it says withstand and it says wrestle. Now it says resist. That's exactly the same word. Do not crumble under pressure. Do not crumble on the evil day. Do not crumble on your day of persecution. Do not fall and crumble. Do not crumble. Do not fall. Do not crumble on your day of persecution. Do not resist. Withstand. Wrestle. Stand. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because he forearms you beforehand. You are always ready for the evil day. It does not take you by surprise. When it comes, you smile. When it comes, you laugh. When it comes, listen, we're still going to go there. When it comes, you rejoice. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. That's not physical. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why? Because the warfare is not carnal. Resist him steadfast, not with guns. Resist him steadfast, not with physical weapons. Resist him steadfast in the faith. A gun can stop a human being. Right? A gun is needful. It's got its place. But it can only stop a human being. It cannot stop the devil. Because the warfare is not carnal. The warfare is what? Spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not, but they are mighty. They are mighty through God. Resist the devil. Resist him. Resist him. Don't fall into depression. Don't crumble emotionally. Now, if you become an emotional wreck, after that you have gone through persecution. No. That means you are not ready. You are not prepared. You cannot go into emotional crisis. No. No. The evil day must leave you stronger. I said the evil day must leave you stronger. Because God has permitted it for a reason. And we're going to look at that. Even it was spoken about today since the service started. There's a reason for it. We have become stronger each time that we have gone through persecution. Each time that we have had to face the evil day. Resist him steadfast in the faith, not knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That is comforting, or is it not? So you are not alone. You are not the odd one out. You can't say, why is this happening to me? No, 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 no. The Bible says, please don't be deceived. This is happening to all your brethren. This is happening to all Christians in the whole world. This is happening to all believers in the whole world. So never you say to yourself, why me? Never you say to yourself, why us? Never you say to yourself, why our church? Never you say to yourself, why our branch? Never you say to yourself, why our zone, our district? No, no, it's worldwide. It is a worldwide phenomenon. Christians are robbed everywhere in the world. Christians are killed everywhere in the world. Christians experience foreclosure everywhere in the world. Christians experience rejection everywhere in the world. It's an attack. It's persecution. But it says, don't crumble. Be a soldier. Don't crumble. Soldiers don't crumble. No matter how bad the war is, soldiers don't crumble. They never give up. And isn't it amazing that soldiers also, they never abandon their partner. A soldier does not abandon a fellow soldier. So even ourselves, we need to carry the ones that we see that they are not able to go on. The ones that we see that are crumbling, that are falling, we ought to carry them with us. But forward, we continue marching. I say, forward, we continue marching. We shall not be deterred. We shall not be stopped. We shall not be distracted. Forward we go. That's it. That's it. He told us to take up a cross and to follow. We don't follow him backwards. We follow him going forward. Jesus Christ, he fell forward on his way to Gethsemane, to Golgotha. He fell. That's why Simon of Arimathea, they asked him, not didn't ask him, they forced him to help him carry the cross. But he was falling, going forward. The destination was Golgotha. The destination was Gethsemane. So he fell going forward. He didn't say to them, I can't take it anymore. He knew forward I had to go. He knew to the cross he had to go. For this purpose, he had come that he would hang on the cross for humanity. For this purpose, he fell going forward to his purpose. We're not going to be stopped. We have a purpose. People who stop and give up, they have no purpose. We have a purpose. We know who our enemy is. Fall going forward. Knowing that the same sufferings. Did you experience suffering on Friday? Of course. Are you experiencing suffering right now? Of course, the aftermath. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Oh, but there's something I love in the Bible. We're just going to read it now shortly. But the Lord is saying to us, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world for you. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world for you. He has said to us, he did not leave us as orphans. He told us that the whole world lies under the rule of the enemy. He has not left us in the world as orphans. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen to me, you pretty people of God, you. Satan may bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. I say the devil may bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. In the grand scheme of things, what we are now experiencing are just mere superficial bruises. You know what is a superficial bruise? Go to the medics after the service. Ask them, what is a superficial bruise? They'll tell you it's nothing to worry about. It's going to heal by itself. Don't even bother. So we are really experiencing mere superficial bruises. Satan has been dealt a fatal blow once and for all by Christ. He was dealt a fatal blow. He's now bruising here and there. Superficially so. So what we are experiencing now are mere superficial bruises. He was dealt once and for all a fatal blow by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This devil is our enemy. He is defeated, and he is a defeated foe. Oh, but why are these things still happening to us? These are bruises. Smile. You are on candid camera. These are bruises. John 16 and 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Can you see the dichotomy again? In me, in the world. That's the reality of Christian existence. You can't run away from it. We live in that dichotomy. You see, in me, you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. What does it mean to be of good cheer? It simply means be happy. Rejoice. Be happy, rejoice. Be of good cheer. Who is telling you to be of good cheer? He's the one who's telling you in the world there's tribulation, in the world there is trouble. He says, but smile, you're on candid camera. Smile. Please, Christian, smile. But one thing is clear from this scripture, that there is no peace in the world. Christians, there is no peace in the world. No one can bring peace in this world. All the people that are talking about peace, efforts of bringing peace, they don't know scripture. This is a prophecy. Christ has said it. There is no peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who owns peace. He's the owner. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, he tells you, the only peace you will find in this world is in me. So to have peace in this world, you have to be in him. What you have in the world is tribulation. It is trouble. It is misery. The world can never give you peace. The world can never offer peace. Because Satan is not the Prince of Peace. Satan is the Prince of Chaos. Cannot give what you do not have. He's the Prince of Chaos. Where is peace, friends? See the dichotomy? In Christ, in the world, no middle ground. See that? Either in Christ or in the world, but no, there's no middle ground. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh my goodness, greater is he. The Prince of Peace is in you. In me you shall have peace, but in the world we'll have tribulation. Now the Prince of Peace is in us. Our peace, our victory, our glory in us. Hallelujah. The Bible says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So, the faith is in us. That means we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. That's who we are. I say that's who we are. That's who we are. It is war that produces heroes. There are no heroes without war. There are no overcomers without war. There are no conquerors without war. Now he's saying we are overcomers, we are more than conquerors, because we are those who stand, right? Who continue steadfast in the faith. We defeat the enemy. We defeat the devil. Satan is there. He's a defeated foe. He's there to be defeated by us. There to be defeated by you and by me. 1 John 5 and 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes is present continuous. The tense of that verb is present continuous. Do you understand that? So that means we overcome the world always. Not sometimes. Always. That's why we don't cave in under pressure. We don't. We overcome the world because whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Again, that verb, that tense is present continuous. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith, therefore, overcomes the world always. I mean, a true child of God is never at any point overcome by the devil as long as the child of God remains steadfast in Christ. He never said in the world we would experience only moments of ice cream. He said in the world we shall have tribulation. We who are born again, Christians, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you are in me, you are in peace. You are safe. You are safe. 2 Timothy 3:10 and 12, to 12. 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. This is Paul addressing his protege, Timothy by name, right? Now he says to him, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching, my manner of life, my way of life. You have followed my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance. All good so far, right? But no, the list is not complete yet. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Now, you see, we don't only follow the teaching. The teaching has persecutions. The teaching has afflictions. We don't only follow the teaching. Timothy, you have not carefully only followed my teaching. Now, this is a testimony. Paul is giving a testimony to his son to say, my son, you have not only carefully followed my teachings. If your pastor is truly from God, hey, my goodness, there are afflictions behind that man. There are persecutions behind that man. So you don't only partake of the teaching. You don't only partake of the manner of life, of the long-suffering, of the love, of the faith. Hey, there are things that come. If you follow the teaching, that means you are drinking from the same cup. Are you able to drink? Are you willing to drink the cup? This teaching we are hearing comes from a cup. Are you willing to drink the same cup? That's what he was saying. People writing, oh, men of God, I'd like you to father me and all of these things. You see, you cannot father because you follow the teaching, you like the teaching. You cannot be fathered because you like the manner of life, the outside, the physical. No, 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 no. You will partake of the cup. Are you willing to partake of the cup? You see, the cup of Paul that Timothy was partaking from, it was not just teaching. It was not just his manner of life. It was not just his purpose. It was not just his faith. It was not just his long-suffering. It was not just his love. It was not just his perseverance. It was his persecutions and afflictions as well. That's what qualified Timothy to be called, when qualifies Paul to say Timothy was his son in the Lord. Now you say, calling everyone papa, papa, because you see them on television. If it's a true servant of God and if you are truly being brought up under that servant, we shall see as we continue. But it's not just the glam. People love the glam. See, they just love the glam. But you see, behind the glam, there's the gory. Yes, there's blood, sweat, snot, and everything behind the glamour, if it's truly from God. Now, but he says, and what persecutions I endured, Timothy, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh my goodness, be of good cheer. The Lord will always deliver you. The Lord will always deliver you. He knows every evil day has been timed. Timed and dated. Every evil day, every persecution that you're going to go through as a child of God has been timed and dated. But God, He will deliver you always. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what the Lord does, He delivers the righteous out of them all. The deliverance out of them all qualifies you to be the righteous. The deliverance out of them all, that authenticates you that you are the righteous. Because God comes, He comes through for you all the time. He comes through for you all the time. Paul says, what persecutions I endured. God did not spare him from the persecution. He was faithful to him through the persecution. That's why he says, oh, what persecutions I endured at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. God did not deliver him from the persecutions. He delivered him through the persecution. He did not spare him. See that? Now, verse number 12, he says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will drink from the same cup. All who desire. Now. It was not Paul. This was not only for Paul alone. And we know that Paul is giving a testimony of his son. So this was not for Paul alone. This was not for Timothy alone. This is for all of us. Because he says all who desire. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's for all of us. It's a normal part of the life of holiness. It's a what? It's a normal part of the life of holiness, life of righteousness, sanctification, a life that is set apart. Persecution, tribulation, trouble, misery, it is a normal part. It is the evil day. He says, if you falter in the evil day, your strength is small. Your faith is small. Let's come to the main scripture of the message today. I'm not starting, I'm closing. What we're going to read now is the main scripture of the message today. The scripture I would like you to meditate on for the week. That is 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But I would like it, verse number 1, number 12, from the NIV. I like it from the NIV. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you. What came on you on Friday, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. What has come on you on Friday, do not be surprised. It says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. It has come to test you. You were being tested. You were writing an examination on Friday. In the spirit, that was an examination. As though something strange were happening to you. God says, I know what happened to you on Friday. It's dated and timed. It was dated and timed beforehand. It's nothing strange. It's nothing strange. If you run away from trouble, you don't belong to Christ. In fact, if you run, if you're in Christ, whether you run or not, it will come for you. Remember, it says the devil comes. You don't go to him. It says he is coming. Satan comes. If you're a child of God, you don't go to him. He comes to you. I don't know which hole you're going to try to hide in. He'll find you. How do you run away from a spirit? The devil is a spirit. How do you run away from a spirit? Verse number 13, but rejoice, rejoice. You see, be of good cheer, rejoice. It has come on you. It happened to you. It came to test you. It came to test you. It's nothing strange. Rejoice. Every time you go through persecution, rejoice. Every time something bad happens to you, rejoice. God knows, and God knows what He's doing with you. He knows what He's doing with your life. Like I always say, God is not taking chances with your life. If He's allowed you to go through it, He will protect you. Please, He will protect you. And we know that for a child of God, nothing can happen to them unless God has allowed. Now, if it happens, we know God has allowed, but He has promised us deliverance. He's promised us deliverance. He's promised us an escape. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. He says what happens to you as a child of God, you are suffering with Christ. That's why the title of the message today is Suffering for Christ. You are suffering for Jesus. What comes, the persecution, it means you are suffering for Jesus. You are going through sufferings, not for your sake, but for His sake. You are suffering for Jesus. Oh my goodness. You did not go to court this. You did not invite it. It came to you. You are suffering for Jesus. And if you're suffering for Jesus, what must you do? Rejoice. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, if you are insulted for the name of Jesus, He says you are blessed. He says, blessed are you. There are people that were insulted on Friday. You are blessed. I said there are people here that were insulted on Friday. You are blessed. You were insulted for praying. You are blessed. You were insulted for calling on the name of Jesus. You are blessed. That's what He says. If you are reproached for the name of Christ. No one was here for picnic on Friday. We didn't come for picnic here. We came for Jesus. There was no picnic in here. Of course, there was a birthday celebration afterward, but that's not what we came for. That celebration was a surprise. And we enjoyed the cakes. After the persecution, we were eating cake. That was Friday. No, it's a true story. Those were not here. After the persecution, after our things were taken, after our people were roughed up, we were having cake. It's true. What were we doing? We were rejoicing. God prepared a banquet beforehand. We were not aware of it, that this was the banquet of the Lord that He had set before us. We don't know what we had to go through, but God says, after, there's a banquet. Nobody ran away rushing home. People went to have cake. That's why I said on Friday, the people that were here, they were meant to be here by God. Those who did not come on Friday, because God did not want them here. Remember Gideon's army? We didn't want people who were going to faint here. Gideon's army. Gideon's army, That's what happened on Friday. Gideon's army. About Brother Moses. Now it says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. You know, I was saying, oh Lord, this, the word you are giving me today to the people that were here on Friday is going to make sense for the first time. Because before they were just reading words. I said, Lord, thank you. Now for the first time, it will make sense to them to say, this is me. I was there. I went through it. He's talking about me. And he's telling me to rejoice. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of Christ rest upon you. Who can understand these things? The Spirit of Christ. He allows this thing because His Spirit is on me. His Spirit is in me. What is Spirit on you? Anointing. What is Spirit on you? Power. See? Glory and power. That's what he's talking about. Every time the word is used, the Spirit on, that's anointing, that's power. That's power. That's different from the Spirit of God being in you, dwelling in you. But when He's on you, He's upon you. Now, what is he saying? For the Spirit of glory and of the power of God. The power of God is on you. You are more anointed, some of you, than, not even some of you, all of you that were here on Friday, you are more anointed than you've ever been. Now he says, on their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, listen, verse 16. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in this matter. Don't be ashamed. Oh, what happened to me? Oh, no. Glorify God. Because His Spirit rests upon you. God is glorified. I say God is glorified. It's what you go through that makes you. It's what you go through that matures you. It's what you go through that grows you. It's what you go through that strengthens you. It is what you go through that makes a man out of you. It's what you go through that makes a woman out of you. Otherwise, you'll remain a mere child in the spirit. A mere child who cries when there's no milk in the fridge. A mere child who cries when there's no cheese in the fridge. A mere child who cries when there's no bacon in the fridge. A mere child who cries when there's no Coke in the fridge. You are a child. You cry when there's no Coke in the fridge. You cry when they're not eating meat at home that day. The leg will make a man out of you. Stop crying like a baby. Finally today, Philippians 3 and 10. Philippians 3 and 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To know Christ is to know his power. To know Christ is to know his sufferings. To know Christ is to be made conformable to his death. It's clear in the scriptures. You can't partake of the power and yet don't partake of the sufferings. You can't partake of the glory and not partake of the sufferings. It is a package. To know Christ is to know his power. To know Christ is to know his sufferings. To know Christ is to be made conformable to his death. What does that mean? It means to be dead to self, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Made conformable to his death, died with him. You are dead to self, you are dead to sin, but you are alive to God in Christ or through Christ. You find that in Romans 6, 10 and 11. To know Christ is to know his power. To know Christ is to know his sufferings. To know Christ is to be made conformable to his death. To know the glory is to know the sufferings. Let us rejoice, for when we suffer for the name of Christ, he is glorified in us, and he glorifies us in him. When we go through sufferings, Christ is glorified in us, and he glorifies us in him through sufferings. So the sufferings of Christ we bear are for our glorification. I heard the pastor, when she was leading prayer in the morning, she quoted this scripture. This scripture says, the B part of it, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If so be what? That we suffer with Christ. There's no glory without the sufferings. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. To see him, when it's revealed, this was during prayer in the morning, to see Christ, our hope to see him when he's revealed is that we partake of his sufferings now. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That means without the sufferings, there's no hope of glory. Let's clap hands for Jesus. Suffering for Christ. It's mysterious. It's mysterious. The persecutions, they come for your own glorification. The sufferings, they come for God to anoint you, for God to grow you, for your faith to be tested, to be sharpened, for your faith to be taken through the fire, so that at the coming of Christ you will not be ashamed. Your faith having been perfected. For us to take over nations, like the prayer we began with, the secret is to go through the sufferings, which neither you nor I choose, but they are pre-chosen for us. Pre-chosen means they are predestinated for us. You don't choose your way when you follow Christ, he chooses the way. Your duty and my duty is just to follow. I say, when you follow Christ, you don't choose the way. That's why it's the way, the truth, and the life. We just follow. He chooses the way. Our duty is just to follow. And the way takes us through persecutions. You've heard it said, Asante, that new levels, new devils. Anoint me. Oh. The way to anointing goes through the wilderness. The way through the anointing, the way to the anointing, it goes through the wilderness. Oh, Father, I want your power. Anoint me. But anything small happens, you scream, God leaves you. God says, you see, you're not ready. God leaves you. Now you wonder the prayer for anointing is not answered, because you are trying to not to go through sufferings. Is it making sense now, church?